You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
You come on in.
Dirk and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Hey. Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are off to a good start. We got the Magic Hat coming up 1 hour from now. Hopefully less than an hour if we're on time. 9 o'clock sharp. Be there, be square. Magic Hat right around the corner. Got some audio. Swag's got it in. Send it to him. I have. Let me count them up. I'm trying to be more prepared for the Magic Hat. I feel like I'm always running late, cutting stuff last second.
Really?
Got to slip them into the hat. It's like this mad dash to get ready for the Magic Hat. So I'm fully prepared and ready to go.
Okay.
Let me count them up. 1, 2, 3. I got 5 today. I got 5 Magic Hats today.
I have 4.
Ooh, we got to have a full hat.
It'll be a big hat.
No farting around during the Magic Hat.
No.
We cannot. We need. I almost feel like for the Magic Hat, depending on how the size of the hat and how full it is on any given day,
yep.
We need to introduce like the pardon the interruption clock. You know, like I don't know what it would be on a per segment basis, but like Swag's got a timer in there, okay. And then the clock runs out.
Yeah. I only have one.
And you give him one of these. Maybe a better sound than that, but you know what I'm saying. You know?
Well, they use the bell when the time is up.
Yeah, the bell ding. Wouldn't be bad. We could get one of those in there. Yeah. Because sometimes you get tied up into something, you only get to two things in the entire segment.
Mm. Well,
and then you still got a full hat.
Then you get on the tangent from the original thing.
It can happen.
Well, some of the hat stuff is interesting to talk about.
No doubt about it. That's why we put it in the hat. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't put it in the hat if it's not interesting, would we? I don't think we would. So a total of 10 today. 5, 4, 1. We got a total of 10.
Yep.
Not good at math, but I can do that. I did find this interesting off of the conversation we were just having. You know what came out in the last hour? We wait for these, okay? I know. You're waiting with bated breath.
Well, yeah.
Who did the Big 12 coaches pick to win the conference?
Oh, my God. Thank God.
Thank you. Don't worry. I know.
I haven't breathed since it started. Like, who are they going to pick?
You've been stressing all morning.
You've been reading
all
me well.
Morning.
Yeah.
I get it. So allow me to alleviate that stress.
Okay.
And let's ask the question, how petty are the Big 12 coaches? They have not picked Texas Tech to win the conference.
Well, I would have actually guessed that.
Really?
Yeah.
Over actual football reasons or the Sorsby stuff 100%?
All Sorsby-based, dude. Like, screw you. I don't care that you actually win it. I'm not doing this.
They all picked
not BYU?
BYU was the preseason pick by the coaches.
I don't really ever care about BYU football, but there is not a program I'm rooting for harder in a conference outside of my own than BYU to win the Big 12.
Yeah.
That would be, I would love that for Kalani Sitake.
I love Sitake. I love that he stayed.
Do I think they can win a title? Never.
No.
But can they be in a playoff? Yeah, dude.
The Bear Bachmeyer story is pretty cool, too. I guess him and his family members are musicians, and they're playing a concert coming up. I saw some of that.
We got the Partridge family playing football.
A little bit, yeah. The only critique I had of the players at Big 12 Media Day, and I don't know, maybe this will become a thing at other media days, too. Did you notice that they made them wear like full-on uniforms?
Yeah, did you see there was videos being sent out of them in their uniform, and they did the one where they're in the jersey and pants, and they basically, those old Pac-12 versus commercials where they like scream. They're all screaming, and then I can't remember who it was for BYU, but there was like 15 guys that screamed, and then he came in, he went, roar.
That got me going. The people who asked them to do that, have they worn a football uniform? Because I'm not sure people are aware of this, but walking around in a football uniform with pads on is pretty uncomfortable.
It's terrible.
and then the tight pants, and then it's just, and you got to sit in it all day as you're doing interviews.
Put the helmet on, man.
Why do you need me in my shoulder pads to ask me about my excitement level for the season? Can I just wear a quarter zip, a BYU quarter zip? Is that not get the job done?
Yeah.
So lots coming out of Big 12 Media Day, and we thought, you know who we should call? Let's call our buddy, Bill Riley. Longtime voice of Utah football. We love having him on. It's a sign that football is around the corner. And we need to start with the hard-hitting questions. Bill, good morning to you. Did they mandate you get branded with the Monster Energy logo upon your departure from Big 12 Media Days?
Boys, every interview you do with me from now on is presented by Monster Energy.
My apologies. Bill Riley from Utah, brought to you by Monster Energy. Go drink it. It's delicious.
You know, we're kind of crossing a line with this joke. We're actually giving too much
advertising. That is true. Very true. They're getting, it's already a bad deal for the Big 12. What is the thought process from Utah fans? Because if I read correctly from Kansas State, they said they're not changing it. So having a green M on the jersey, how has Utah fans viewed that news?
I haven't really gotten the feedback from Utah fans yet. I'm just fresh back. I landed at midnight last night coming back from Dallas. So I haven't gotten the full effect talking to people and things like that. Now, it's from what I was told yesterday, I think the Monster logo is going to be weaved into the Big 12 logo. So it may not be as prominent, but it will still be there. And that was kind of the big news coming out of Big 12 Media Days. There wasn't a ton of football news, but yes, the branding news is a big deal. And I, again, haven't been able to kind of gauge the reaction of fans in this market yet. This market does like its energy drinks. I will say that. This is an energy drink market. So we'll see how it's met. It's going to be on fields, it's going to be on courts, it's going to be on uniforms. So there's going to be a lot of Monster in the Big 12.
How would you describe everything surrounding Texas Tech and all of what that was and has been the last, like, week or two?
Well, it's tamped down, certainly, compared to where it was a month ago. Texas Tech, in some ways, kind of felt like they were trying to play the victim. That didn't play very well among Big 12 schools. I expected a little bit more. I will say this. Joey McGuire, I thought, did a really good job of, and probably the job that Texas Tech should have done from the outset of approaching it, and it was almost pretty close to a mea culpa saying, maybe we upon further review, perhaps we could have taken a different tact. So I think that part of it is good. It's over now. I mean, the story's over. He's not playing. He's not going to be in the supplemental draft. You know, now the inquiry's begun on Cincinnati, which is going to be interesting to see what the NCAA finds when they look into Cincinnati just a little bit. In fact, I went to interview Scott Satterfield, their head coach, yesterday at Big 12 Media Days. And the media relations director said, you're not going to ask about Sorsby, are you? And I wasn't, because we were just gathering content. And I'm not doing a radio show. I'm just doing gathering content. I was just asking some questions about Utah and Morgan Scalley and some stuff. But had I mentioned Sorsby's name, I'm pretty sure I would not have gotten to talk to Scott Satterfield yesterday. So the Texas Tech thing is behind them in some ways. Cincinnati's now going to have to deal with a little bit of the fallback there, or the fallout there.
Yeah, I want to get to Utah, Bill. We're talking with Bill Riley, longtime voice of Utah, because it's a new start, right? Whittingham was there forever, and he moves on, and we had you on when that whole thing played out, and he ends up going to Michigan. But before I do, I'm just curious, when you look at the conference as a whole this year, we were just having a conversation about Texas Tech and re-looking at their run last season. Now, obviously, they lost the game to ASU with the backup quarterback, and Dillingham took them down. Other than that, there wasn't really anybody in the conference that was competitive with them, even in some bigger games, the Utah game early in the year, the two BYU matchups. They just seemed to overwhelm everybody. Do you have the feel? Do you look at the conference this year as similar of like it's Texas Tech, Gap, everybody else, or is it more? Do you think BYU can jump into that? Utah's into that. I'm just, when you look at the conference as a whole, does it feel like a one-team race or a multi-team race?
Utah played. I mean, it was a 3-point game for three quarters.
Yeah.
And Devin Dampier was hurt, and Utah couldn't do anything offensively. And then Tech put it on them in the fourth quarter. Utah beat itself in the BYU game. Those were their two losses last year. BYU was not competitive with them, but they were really good. I think this is a three-team race this year. I think Texas Tech probably takes a little bit of a step back. I might be wrong on that, but I think maybe a little step just because they had so much talent on that team. Now, maybe they refilled the coffers well. I just don't know where Will Hammond is coming off the ACL.
Yeah.
I know he's going to play probably second, maybe third game of the year, but is he – what he was. He's a very good quarterback. If he was 100%, they probably would have never pursued Sorsby. He's really good. He was the guy, frankly, the best thing that happened to Texas Tech was their starter got knocked out in the Utah game because Hammond came in. Then he became the starter after that. Then he got hurt. BYU is going to be good again. They lost a lot of weapons on the outside. They lost their defensive coordinator, who was so key to what they did. But I think they're going to be good again. Utah is going to be good. I know nobody's really talking much about Utah except for the fact that Whittingham left. It was a smooth transition, really smooth, a new good energy around the program. So, and they bring back a lot from last year. Then there's some other teams. I think Houston, Arizona, TCU are all going to be good teams. I don't think any one of those three teams is good enough to win the league. But they're good enough to play spoiler. They're good enough to win 8 or 9 games and good enough to ruin a Utah, Texas Tech, or a BYU season by beating them. So I think those are the two tiers. I think Utah, BYU, Tech in the top tier, Arizona, Houston, TCU in that second tier. And I think that's kind of the hierarchy of the Big 12, at least heading in.
Do you miss us? The Big 12 media days just don't hit the same way Pac-12 media days used to hit, do they?
I miss you guys. Yes, there's no doubt about that. Even though you've never delivered on the beer you promised me. Oh, we can't ship it to Utah. Find a way, okay? Find a way. I got home at 12:30 last night, and I found a way to come on your show. Find a way to give me that beer. Anyway, I do miss the old days. I mean, I love the Pac-12. I did. I mean, this is a good league. It was fun to be in Dallas. But I miss the travel stops. I miss, you know, some of the rivalries that Utah was beginning to develop in that league. Although ASU was one of those teams, and they're still in the league. But it's not the same. And the new I'm happy that they're keeping a name. We all three of us know what they're calling the Pac-12 is not what the Pac-12 was. I'm happy for Oregon State and Wazoo that they get to continue to be members, but it's not the same.
Yeah, it is. It's been weird. What's been the best stop so far that maybe you weren't expecting in the Big 12? Like, that's a unique thing. And Oregon in the Big 10 now, they play like Rutgers or Maryland. It's just like, God, this is so stupid. But then you get the Ohio State game or a Penn State wideout, and you're like, all right, this is kind of cool. What's been the biggest positive for you, road trip or new environment that you've gone to? Like, man, that was awesome so far in the Big 12.
Well, I'll say this. West Virginia is fun.
Yeah.
Now, I grew up in the old Big 8. I went to Kansas, so I was familiar with the conference and a lot of the stops from when I was in school and growing up in the Midwest, so it wasn't a foreign thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had never been to West Virginia till I went for basketball, and then last year we went for football, and those folks know how to get down. They do. They know how to get down with tailgating and getting into it. I was given a mason jar of moonshine the night before by a West Virginia fan. There could not have been a more West Virginia experience than walking down the street and a guy walking up saying, "Welcome to West Virginia, and here's some moonshine." So it was a great atmosphere, and those people are fun. And I think Rich Rod, our old friend from the Pac-12 days who I talked to yesterday, who's a West Virginia guy, I think he's going to get them back on track again. But there aren't as many historic venues, if that makes sense. There's not a Rose Bowl. There's not an Austin Stadium. There's not a Husky Stadium. There's not a Coliseum, stuff like that, if that makes sense. But here's what I will say that's better in the Big 12 than sometimes in the Pac-12. When you would go into Los Angeles, even if you were going to the Rose Bowl or the Coliseum, you'd land, you'd be in town. They didn't care. I mean, you didn't know that Utah was playing USC or UCLA. even when you would go to Seattle sometimes, you wouldn't necessarily feel it, or you would be going. But when you go to Stillwater, or you go to Lubbock, or you go to Manhattan, or you go to Ames, Iowa, they are all in, and there's 60,000 people there, and everything in that town is about the game that next day or that day. So that part of it's kind of fun. There's a little bit better game day atmosphere just about everywhere you go.
That's because there's nothing to do in these towns you're naming. It sounds awful to live there. That's all they have in their lives.
Hey, I got a follow-up, though. Did you drink the moonshine?
I did not.
Yeah.
I'd be some rando West Virginia fan. Yeah. When I'm going to drink the moonshine? I had to go on the air. What if I burn my vocal cords with it?
I'm with you.
I'm just curious.
I'm with you, Bill 100 here. Like, if they're going to poison a tree in the South, why would they not poison the play-by-play guy?
Smart move.
Of the opposing football team. I think you're taking the right approach here.
Veteran move.
Who's your pick to win the title?
The Big 12 title?
No. The whole enchilada here, buddy. Are you going to Oregon?
I think Oregon's got a great chance. I want to see what Cignetti does again, but that guy's got some juice around him. He's got a little magic working in Bloomington. I'm not counting it. I don't know yet. I guess I haven't dug deep enough into it. I haven't gotten my Phil Steele magazine. I haven't gotten those things yet to really dig deep. But I do think Oregon's in the mix.
Yeah.
This is kind of one of those things. I don't know how soccer into it you were. You know, this was one of those years. If we were ever going to make the quarterfinal, why not this year? And obviously we fell flat.
Right.
You guys are a little closer to it, but I mean, What's the hole in Dan Lanning's team right now? Is there a hole in that team? Is there a big question in that team? Because they look pretty good on paper to me.
Yeah, linebacker a question, offensive line, new faces question. Outside of that, there's not a lot.
Playing another team that they played in the regular season in the playoffs, that doesn't go well for him.
In the playoffs, those have gone pretty bad the last couple of years. Hey, what are we doing here? All right, we're talking Utah football.
We're pointing out weaknesses.
Come on.
We're talking college football.
I'm not trying to remember the Peach Bowl right now. On that note, Bill, you mentioned that the main thing, like if I think, hey, what's been going on with Utah football, the main thing that jumps out to my head is, hey, well, Kyle Whittingham's gone, and we are kind of losing sight of what they're bringing back. Not to mention the decision that might impact him next year, because it was announced the guy's getting that fifth year of eligibility. Dan Pierce, one of those guys who battled some injuries last year. Of just there's not a concern at all, it seems like, in your mind of a transition and Scally taking over, and he's done a great job obviously on the defensive side of things, but you see it being a seamless transition going into year one.
Well, I do. I mean, as seamless as any transition could be when you're a first year head coach. I mean, he's never been a head coach before, but he's been preparing for this for years because he was coach in waiting. And he played there, and he spent his entire coaching career there. He helped build the culture and played in it there. You mentioned Dampier. If Devin stays healthy, I mean, he was unhealthy. He played hurt most of the year last year and still, you know, put up, you know, ridiculous numbers both running and passing. He's got the best wide receiver room Utah's ever had. Bird Ficklin comes back. He was a weapon as the backup quarterback. Wayshon Parker, who played 2 years ago at Wazoo, went for just about 1,000 last year. He's back. Now, they have to replace the offensive line. That's one of the bigger questions, but they reloaded there. I think they're going to be really good. For Utah, the season, I think, is going to come down to the three games in early November. You've got BYU on the 7th of November at home. Then you've got to go to Arizona the next week. That's never an easy game, and it's the week after BYU. And then you go on the road to TCU.
Mm.
If you get two of those three games, I think you're playing in the Big 12 championship game, probably against Texas Tech, because Tech's schedule is really easy. They don't have to play Utah or BYU in the regular season this year. So I like Utah's chances, guys. There's a good. I've been around it closer than most. I'm in the building. I talk to the coaches. I see them. There's a great energy and vibe about the program. It's a different energy. It's not better or worse. It's just different. It's just new.
It's a monster energy.
I see what you did. It's not a. Now it is. Now it's a monster energy. But I think they're gonna have. I think they're gonna have a really good year.
Yeah. Sorry. Now you know why my kids hate me. I step in with dad jokes when I don't need to. Very quickly, we'll let you go here because we appreciate the time. I know you're running on a little sleep with travel. How does Kansas alum, but now Utah native, feel about Darren Peterson?
I watched him play last year, and when he played, he showed great flashes. It was a little head-scratching, some of the stories around him. And I've got friends that are still at Kansas. I know a lot of the people there. They couldn't figure out what it was. But I'll tell you what, he's only played a couple of games for the Jazz. He has looked fantastic.
He looks awesome.
they may have their backcourt for a while. Again, it's kind of like spring football with college football.
Right.
You don't get too excited about some guy in spring, then he never sees the depth chart the fall. But Darren Peterson's going to see the floor, and granted, he's playing against guys that may not be on rosters, but he looked pretty dominant here at Jazz Summer League for a couple of days. Now they'll go down to Vegas, but he's really good. What are they doing? What are the Blazers doing?
Well, let's
hey, come on, know. Bill. Come on. We're talking about you here, all right?
Ja Morant has been an all-star, all right?
We're trying to make fun of your problems, all right? Don't throw this back at us. We don't want to talk about our cheap owner and Ja Morant. We're done with this. Bill Riley, longtime voice of Utah, fresh off of Big 12 Media Days. We still owe him a case of beer. Once we send the case of beer...
You can't send beer.
We'll
I've tried.
We'll get our case of Monster Energy in return, and then we'll be even, and football's around the corner. It's great to hear your voice. Let's do it again soon. Thanks, Bill.
You guys dodged that question a lot like Texas Tech dodged Brandon Sorsby question. Mm. Very well done.
We're here to talk about the future, Bill. Have a great day.
See you, boys.
All there right. you go. Bill Riley, longtime voice of Utah. Good stuff there. And some leftover notes from the Big 12 Media Day and a decision in college football that will impact this player. When was the last time you thought about this player? I'll tell you who it is and how it impacts him next on The Fam.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Our thanks again to Bill Riley, longtime voice of the Utes, for coming on, talking some Utah football, mixing a little Oregon in there, and some Blazers. Good for Bill Riley getting all those in there. Some college football tidbits, some odds and ends to throw at you. There was a decision that came down, and it is going to impact a small number of players, but one of them, as we alluded to in the interview, is the starting quarterback Utah. Devin Dampier is his name. And they came down with a decision for senior quarterbacks as schools begin preparing for this move. Some of the prominent people who will be impacted by it are senior quarterbacks this year. And so the list of guys who will be given an extra year of eligibility, because they have this new 5-to-play-5 rule that they're coming out with.
Yep.
So essentially it's getting rid of the redshirt rule. You have 5 years. Play as many games as you want. Which is the way it should be, because it's dumb. Like, bowl games wouldn't count. Like, you could play in 4 games, but then bowl games wouldn't count. So you could end up playing, if you're in the college football playoff, 7 or 8 games, but still redshirt a season. It's just stupid. This was the right move. The list of guys getting impacted by it: Devin Dampier, starting quarterback at Utah,
who already came out and said, "I want to go to the NFL."
Yes, he's. I don't know
if he sucks. He'll come back if he or not sucks, but if he's not an NFL based guy,
yes,
it sounds like he's willing to come back because he called it a safety belt.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he will be back. Although maybe he proves me wrong this year. He's an undersized guy. He's more of a runner than he is a thrower. I mean, he's good. I remember watching him. I think it was at New Mexico or New Mexico State the year before. And they beat Wazoo in a game late at night. I'm like, who the hell is this quarterback running around?
Yeah.
And when he transferred to Utah, it was noteworthy for that reason. He was good last year, banged up. Maybe he's surprised and goes to the NFL. But to your point, it's a good safety blanket for him. Avery Johnson at Kansas State. Seems like he's been around forever.
Talk about a runner.
Yes.
Not a quarterback.
Another guy who could take advantage of it. Jalen Rayner, who is now the quarterback at Iowa State. Nobody needs to know that, nor should you. Anthony Calandria. Do you know who he starts for this year?
Nebraska,
former UNLV quarterback in Virginia, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got another year. Jackson Arnold.
Boy.
That Jackson
Oklahoma's
Arnold.
Oklahoma's very own. Huh?
Oklahoma and Auburn's very own. Now,
right.
UNLV starting quarterback Jackson Arnold.
That's right.
Yes.
Jackson Arnold, what a journey. 3 years, 3 different teams.
Dan Mullen's doing the washed up 5-star, like, let me find the highly touted kid.
I don't blame
and
him.
See if it works out for a year. And then if it does, he'll go. Calandria was there for a year, had a good year. Now he's a starting quarterback in Nebraska. And the last one that it will impact, When was the last time you laid awake at night looking at the ceiling thinking about Aiden Chiles?
His sophomore season.
He got another year of eligibility. Yeah. Do we know? Now, I threw this at you before the show, and I was like, damn it, I should have done that. I should have held on to this. Swag, do you know who Aiden Chiles plays for now?
I didn't know this until I read the article.
Yeah.
I'd forgot.
I would have forgotten, I would have totally forgotten, too.
If you would have said he transferred, I said, yeah.
Did he go to Auburn?
Nope.
He did not.
That's the...
So, remember, he is not redshirted, so he played every game his freshman year, remember?
Yes.
Smith did the dumb one series in the second quarter thing.
So weird.
Yeah, I know.
And then he started the Civil War as a warm-up to welcome to East Lansing with me. Started, you know, outside of injuries, both years in East Lansing. So he's played... This is his fourth year. He's getting an extra year of eligibility if he wants it. He's going to need it.
Is he the starter where he's transferred?
That is a good question. I don't know who else they have on the depth chart.
Do you have any more guesses, Swag?
No.
It's a team that sucks in the Big Ten.
He will play Oregon this year at Autzen Stadium.
Purdue?
No, you're close.
No, that is close.
Wheelhouse.
Yeah. Northwestern.
Yeah, he's a Wildcat.
He is the Northwestern quarterback.
He will be the starting quarterback debut Ryan Field, finally. Is that thing done?
Do you ready for this add-on to it? Do you remember who his offensive coordinator is?
Oh, who went there?
Gundy didn't go there.
No. It's a big name.
It's a big name.
It is a big
name. Oh, it's Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly is his offensive coordinator at Northwestern. I don't know if there's a better encapsulation.
Has anybody fallen further than that? He was the highest paid OC in the NFL last year.
These two guys are going to be—they're going to fit like a glove because they're both the same thing. One guy was this next up, you know, the second coming at the position.
Jeez.
And Oregon State fan thought he was going to be great. Then he goes to East Lansing. Michigan State fan thought he was going to be great. So them now playing together at Northwestern is really funny and a perfect encapsulation of imagine me saying the sentence 3 years ago. That Aiden Chiles will be playing on his third college football program, the projected starter at Northwestern, and Chip Kelly will be his offensive coordinator. None of it makes sense, but that's where we're at.
College football has just become Tinder for sports.
It really has.
Swipe, swipe,
swiping right.
Swipe.
Were you not on this app a week ago? Yeah, I'm back on it, though.
Yeah, no, I need it. I need it right now. Okay, give me a little bit of time.
By the way, the amount of dating apps now, my wife's cousin, she's 20, I think she's like 25.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I went on a date. I was like, with who? She's like, this guy from Hinge. I'm like, what the
Hinge?
Hell is what's Hinge?
Hinge has been around for a while. That's what the kids on the streets tell me.
You know.
Hinge is a known, like.
That's a good follow up.
Really never heard of Hinge?
No.
Never heard of
Hinge. Oh, yeah. Hinge is like, I think it replaced Tinder not a long time ago. As
like
the number one.
So Tinder's not a thing.
I think Tinder's still a thing. I think Hinge popped. I think there was
it
Bumble
surpassed Hinge
for a while.
Or Tinder.
Bumble was the one, if I remember correctly,
Tinge the next one?
Hinder. Are you tingling? There was Bumble for a while.
Tingling would be a great
it would
dating
be solid.
App.
Let me see what the
tingling?
Most popular dating app.
Damn, dude. Tingling. We need to make that one.
Yeah, the most tied for the you have three.
Your phone
that are
vibrates every time somebody okays you.
Hinge, Bumble, and Tinder are your big three in the dating space game.
Yeah, I'd never heard of Hinge until she said it.
Yeah, Bumble's the one that makes the girls reach out to the men first. The men aren't allowed
to
reach out.
The Sadie Hawkins.
It is the Sadie Hawkins
dating apps.
Of dating apps. I don't know what the difference of Hinge is.
So she told me, because I said, well, is Tinder still a thing?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, it's still a thing, but Hinge is different. And I said, what's different about Hinge? And she goes, you don't have to pay for it like you do Tinder. And I go, you have to pay for Tinder? And she goes,
oh, they're charging now, huh?
Yeah, you get to a certain point if you're on the dating side of it where you're, you pay and you get, I guess, whatever it is you're paying for, you get that, but Hinge gives it to you for free.
Google AI is telling me that Tinder is more for hookups and Hinge is meant for meaningful, long-term connections.
Oh, like eHarmony was there for a while?
They're trying to be the eHarmony of dating apps you're not just swiping for a hookup on a Friday night. You're looking for something more serious.
Is Farmers Only still a thing?
I sure hope so. Would you like me to search it? Because I will.
No, you don't need to.
I would like to.
It sounds
to.
Like you kind of know I somehow like all these dating apps. I'm very curious about that. I'd love to make a dating app that just is exactly,
oh, it's
if
a
you're
thing.
Single, what you're looking for. Yeah. I watch sports through the whole fall. I like to golf momentarily. Don't bother me all the time. I'm the big spoon, and I love to eat steak, burgers, swipe.
Like, I like
that's
meat.
The name of the app.
I like meat.
I like to golf. Leave me alone.
Well, since we're into
Saturdays are for me.
Sponsorships. The NCAA should sponsor the transfer portal.
I mean, they really should. What? If they were smart, brought to you by Hinge. He's entered the Hinge transfer portal or the Bumble transfer portal. FarmersOnly.com is still a thing. It's asking for me to create an account.
What about Christian Mingle?
Ooh, let's search it.
How much sex is being produced from Christian Mingle, by
Christian
the way?
Christian Mingle, still a thing. Real love, shared values, your kind of faith.
Shared values.
Connect with Christian singles who share your values, faith, and vision.
What's the
for
one
a
for the older peoples? Isn't there a...
That I don't know.
Isn't there one for like 60 plus or something?
long balls? Or is that a golf site? We don't know. Could be either or.
Allgray.com?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Allgray.com would be a good one.
That would be silver
foxes. Silver something.
Just like a silver fox.
Silver wings.
A smoking gilf.
Yeah, I haven't thought about Aiden Childs in a while. Him starting a game at Autzen Stadium for... I had this yesterday thinking of Boise State playing at Autzen with a Pac-12 logo on their jersey. And now thinking about... Aiden Childs starting a game at Oregon in a Northwestern uniform on Halloween night. It's going to be really weird.
If you could come up with something where somebody has exactly the same thing and the opposite, that is where the dating app Tingle, I think, would actually make the most sense, right? Mm. You get that tingle feeling down in your plums when somebody is exactly lined up with your lifestyle.
Deep in your loins.
I love to go to the movie theater. So do I.
Yeah.
I love to golf on Saturdays with me alone or with my boys. I love to go thrift shopping all Saturday. Yeah. Oh, my God. We both have something to go do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everything you like.
Your activities match. Your interests match.
Your movie genres. Yeah. Your foods. Like, you have enough similarities where also the things you still want to... I want to watch football Saturday, August 31st. Until December, from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I help my mom out every Saturday from 8 a.m. until 7:30 p.m.
What a quinkadink, man.
Boom. Match it up. Make it like a house filter on Zillow.
Right.
Now we're tingling.
I think we came up with something there. Mm. You guys want to tingle together? Let's tingle together.
I don't know how that's not an app yet.
It should be an app. I would tingle. Let's get to a ranking of this. I'm sure it will be hotly debated. And... is one coach criminally low? I'll explain. We'll get to that coming up next. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody saying the dating app for the old should be called Hard Candy. That's pretty good. You want a hard candy?
We had P1 say they'd met their wife on Hinge.
They did?
Yeah.
How about that? Look, I did enjoy, my wife has not texted me all morning, and the first time I get a text is after the dating app segment.
Asking how you know so much
about
Hinge?
No, it wasn't about that. It was a picture of Teddy. But I did look down, and I'm like, well, a vault? Really? Really? You think I'm on Hinge?
My wife couldn't get over how you just exposed your cousin yesterday on our show about being a Disney princess.
Yeah, nobody was listening. We're all right. In my family. People were listening, but in my family. I think I was safe there yesterday. I don't think word's going to travel back. I'm more worried about criticizing my neighbor's weird behavior this morning and that traveling back to her and having an even more awkward interaction with them the next time I
have to. Like, I'm running with my tinge or my tingle.
Yeah, tingle.
Can you find like a golf one where you just give each other's handicaps and if you're in the same ballpark, you're a match?
My good buddy, I got a good buddy once upon a time, host of Grip City Golf with me. He has had this business plan for years.
I don't know
if he's actually going to do it, or he's been talking about this for years.
Golfers meeting other golfers that are
essentially
in their wheelhouse.
Was an app of basically, like you meet with buddies and then you match. So like if you play with a random, I'm at Stone Creek and there's a fourth that plays with us. That, hey, that guy was actually kind of cool. You can match and become friends with him. And then you would essentially, so you build this like kind of network of friends.
I was talking about dating and having sex.
Oh, no, he wants to do it for actual golf. But yeah, having sex with people.
The 19th hole, you know what I mean?
Yeah, having sex with people who like golf would be fun too.
Well, but like imagine.
But he wants to do it of like, I have a tee time on Thursday. I only have two, I need to. And you would basically throw it out to your app. And then people who know you and have played with you would say, oh, I got nothing going on Thursday. I'll play with you.
But would you be a combo package and a twosome, or would you, like, am I getting Dave and Steve? Because what if I don't like Steve? Steve is a little bit more of a bummer.
Look, it's not perfect.
You know?
There's going to be some bumps in the road.
You could get stuck with a white Dion.
You could.
Who is just an utter jackass that ditches Dion. One group and joins your group and doesn't even really care if you care.
His name was Dion? Dion?
White Dion.
A white? What was the spelling? Did you ask?
No.
I want to know.
I probably said too much even saying
know.
The name.
Give me the answers here.
It was like an older white guy, and I was like, what?
Dion? Your name's Dion? What?
And it wasn't somebody who like, oh yeah, my dad was a Cowboy Niner guy. It was like somebody older than Swag.
Dude, I think if I meet a white Dion, there's an immediate, come again?
Was Deion Sanders the first Dion, the way Jalen Rose maintains he was the first Jalen? Had anybody heard the name Dion before Deion Sanders? Just ask.
Celine, when did Celine Dion?
Well, that's a last name.
That's a last name. I know. I'm just
talking
trying to,
first name here.
Yeah. Let me think.
So is White Dion's mom such a Celine Dion fan? But no, because I'm telling you, he's older than Swag.
Wasn't the guy who sang Run Around Sue named Dion?
Mm. That was his stage. I think it was D-I-O-N.
Yeah.
How old is that guy?
That was early 60s, 50s.
Oh, okay, then that would have been
Run Around Sue came out a lot. Yeah, that was a long time
ago. When it would have been more in line with lining up.
And that was a white Dion.
Okay. Yeah,
but he was spelled I-O-N.
Is Dion Francis DiMucci.
Yeah.
Oh, it's D-I-O-N.
D-I-O-N.
See, the E.
That's why I wanted to know, is it E-I-O-N?
E-I-O-N is better. What are we doing?
It is a better spelling. I'll give you that. D-I-O-N? You don't really need it, but I get it.
I think that's a good idea.
He's a white Dion.
I'm more thinking about the guys who are in their mid-40s. They're single. They're looking for love. But they also, they devote a lot of their time and energy to the golf course.
Oh, for older couples,
and you find a gal that she's like, she's an 11 handicap, and you're like a 9.
Like, you're divorced, your kids are a little bit older, right? Or they're off on, you're an empty nester. Like, that makes total sense. It's matching with somebody who has an interest like that.
Like, my wife has just gotten into golfing. Mm-hmm. Like, and when I say that, I mean literally yesterday, she was in our backyard chipping. I had no clue where she was, and I went in the backyard, she was chipping.
What? Wait.
Really into it.
Wait.
Like,
wait.
Watching her algorithm now.
Hold on.
It's either super hot R&B artist.
Hold on. Hold time out.
Or it's golf videos.
Time out.
That's her algorithm.
What?
Yeah.
Your wife is in the backyard chipping?
Chipping for like 40 minutes.
What?
Yeah. She even bought one. So we have a bucket of small little wiffle balls.
How did we get here?
She was doing full swings with the wedge.
Like, in the backyard with the wiffle balls.
They were on our deck. So we have a little bit of a green space off the deck. She was chipping in, and then there was balls on the
deck.
And
this is happening out of nowhere? Did you guys go to like the range a couple of times? Has she played a round of golf with you?
She's never played a round of golf with me. We've been to the range twice.
Okay. Hit balls a couple times.
Hit balls. Yeah. And she's doing the prototypical new golfer thing. Like, she's struggling to make them really move.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
But I told her, if you're going to do this, you need to just get as good as you can 100 in.
Yeah.
Don't care about the driver.
Nah, just find a fairway. You're fine.
Don't make my mistakes.
No.
And so, like, she doesn't want to play around, but I know when we eventually will, she's going to be, like, a plus 35.
How long until we're going to ask to go play a round of golf? How much time do we give it?
It's on her.
Whenever she wants to.
I'm not rushing there. That's not making that call. That's her call.
That's a big deal.
I don't want to be the overbearing husband that's we need to go. And then I'm mad now 3 holes in because you've had 9 strokes every hole.
Well, let's pick it up. You know,
let's move it. Oh, she knows that.
She gets
I'm teaching her all the stuff I've learned.
As long as they go with the process, it's totally fine.
I mean, it's a great setup for me. If she eventually gets to even where I'm
perfect.
At right now.
It's the dream.
Which is pretty terrible.
Yes.
We'll be living a great retired life at some point, I think, in our lives.
Hey, baby, you want to go to Palm Springs? Sure.
That's what I said.
100 degrees. Let's go play golf. Let's
she loves the heat. She loves a swimming pool.
Yeah. Let's go down to Scottsdale for a weekend. How about that?
Oh, man. Spring training and golf.
Dude, that just blew my mind a little bit. That was a big bomb to throw on the show. That's a big Sprague life development right there.
Well, I didn't know how committed to it she was going to be, but she's gotten, randomly now is doing the...
If you're chipping in the backyard...
Dude, she's doing swing motions in our room with no club. just like,
dude, I don't even know what I would do if my wife started doing a swing motion. She'll go golf. I mean, we've been golfing a number of times.
Yeah.
And she's good with all the same stuff of like pick it up, you know, all right, there's people behind us. We don't need to hit it 4 yards at a time. And she does fine. She can make her way around a golf course here or there. If she started practicing her golf swing in the bedroom, I don't know how I would react.
Well, she's
had start drooling.
A hip thing for a long time. She ran a Hood to Coast event with me years ago, and her hip has been hurting since. And she goes, it's crazy, but like a golf swing actually helps my hip feel way better.
Ah, kind of loosens up the body. It's like stretching almost.
As long as you keep rotating.
You just
got to
rotate.
You got to rotate.
Show her Dak Prescott warm up. That's what you got to do. Get that hip in there. Get that hip.
It's kind of scary. Like I'm playing around tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing around Monday. But like I weirdly feel like she is more obsessed with golf right now than even I am. And I'm playing rounds.
I'm incredibly jealous. Incredibly jealous.
Why? You got a golf scholarship.
I mean, we got a ways to
house.
Go. She's pregnant, right? I'm not critiquing right now.
She might have two scholarships.
She's got bigger things on her hands, bigger things on her plate.
Sure.
Pun intended. I get it. But yeah, that's like practicing the golf swing.
If my wife gets
that's
to
a level
like
of sicko that's like that's not normal. Standing
well
around and air swinging, not normal behavior.
It's one of those, you know it, but you don't want to say it. It's like jinxing a no-hitter.
Don't mention it. Don't mention it.
But I just like looking over and I'm like, Oh my God. You just get to a 22 handicap, we're good.
Taking those hall pass mental pictures. Click, 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 click.
Well, and every time she's teed off at the range of the driver goes like 120 yards, you know?
That's not bad.
I'm like, hey, from the reds?
Yeah.
From the red?
You hit it 120 yards. That's a good tee shot.
You're sitting pretty.
Yeah. So, you got good hip action. Your wife's not big. Powerful little swing.
We got to take the clubs and get them fitted now.
Yeah.
They were hand-me-down clubs from my mom. They were never used. They're basically brand new, but she needs to get them fitted a little bit because she's shorter.
Well, I had a ranking of college coaches I was going to get to there, but, you know.
I'd love to. Well, we got the Magic Hat.
Yeah. Now I want to talk a little World Cup in the last hour because we got a game today. France, Morocco today, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I think we're disrespecting Morocco a little bit here.
Oh,
but
okay.
Hard to not feel like France is the favorite to win the whole enchilada.
Got to give them the respect they deserve. We'll dive into that. Also, where do the rights go from here? An interesting story on that and how expensive they could get. All that to come in the final hour. Before we go to the final hour, though, right now, how about a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Zach Bryan July 25th at Autzen Stadium in Eugene, Oregon. If you text the word Zach, that's his name, Z-A-C-H, to 503-864-6326, you'd be entered for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Zach Bryan July 25th, this July 25th, 2026, at Autzen Stadium, 1051thefan.com for complete details. We'll have more to give away as the week goes on. Loaded final hour starts with a Magic Hat next, 1051 FM The Fan.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.